It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back. It is always a good day when I wake up, give thanks, and I know that when I step out in my small recording studio with my puppy down at my feet, that I have the unique, distinct opportunity to speak to incredible people. Oh boy, are you in for a treat today. My guest today is Mark Anthony. Mark, I'm sure you've heard of him. He is the author of Afterlife Frequency, which happens to have the distinction of being a number one Amazon bestseller. It was he's been submitted for a Pulitzer Prize. Oh, my gosh. And also recommended by the amazing Shirley MacLaine. He's known as the psychic lawyer, and we're going to find out what that exactly means. You can find Mark on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. If you want to connect with him, go to his website, Afterlife Frequency. So now that we've done this amazing rundown of all of your just incredible things that you've done, we're going to get right to it and have a conversation with Mark. So Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jane. I'm really honored to be here.
Well, it's so cool that we got to connect with one another through a mutual project that we're working on through Camille Dan, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show. But let's talk about the psychic lawyer. How did you become known as the psychic lawyer?
You know, the media seems to enjoy giving me labels, because I was at a conference in New York City, and a bunch of the media were there, and, you know, I was there in my capacity as a medium, and a bunch of reporters found out that I was a lawyer. So they started, well, this is Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, and it stuck. And then a couple years ago, because there's more to what I do than just spirit communication. I mean, that's a huge part of it. But I'm also an NDE, a near-death experience researcher, a paranormal investigator. I have a background in quantum physics, archaeology, ancient mysteries, and supernatural phenomenon. So I appear on a lot of different shows describing, you know, different topics, everything from, you know, we think that we figured out what the Loch Ness Monster is, to the discovery of the Gate of Hell, to my theories about the electromagnetic soul and what we really are. And so another media outlet nicknamed me the Psychic Explorer, which is, yeah, it was kind of cool, because I've spent a lot of my time, and I've always got trips planned. I've got one next year that I'm not at liberty to talk about yet. But I travel around the world to mystical spiritual sites, and I like to do investigations there. I mean, I like to see it and study it. And, you know, I've been to, you know, in the Andes Mountains of Peru. I've been in the Amazon, Southeast Asia, Native American sites, Stonehenge, Loch Ness, sites throughout Europe and Central South America, the Caribbean, studying different belief systems and those phenomena. So all those things rolled into, now my publicist says, okay, now we're going to call you Mark Anthony, JD, Psychic Explorer, because the JD is my Juris Doctorate. So it kind of rolls everything into one. So that's how that happened.
Man, that is just an unbelievable background. At what age did you know that something was happening, that you were maybe different than the average child, that you were connecting on a higher, more spiritually inclined level?
Well, I was 3.5 years old when I started having invisible friends come and visit, and I'd be interacting with them. And my parents could see them too, because both my mother and father had mediumistic abilities.
Wow.
And the reactions to it were very different. Mom was like, oh, he's got it. Dad was, oh, he's got it. And the two sides of my family could not possibly have been more different. And what it is with psychic abilities, mediumistic abilities, it is a genetic trait. And it's what's known as a recessive genetic trait. In other words, it skips a generation, like left-handedness. It's genetically predetermined if you're going to be right-handed or left-handed. But roughly 10% of the people in the world are left-handed, so it can skip a generation. So with psychic ability and with recessive traits in general, when you have two parents with the same recessive trait, then the likelihood of one of their children having that trait increases. And well, that was me. I was their third child, the youngest. And my dad had been a U.S. Navy SEAL. And then after that, he was working in aerospace. He was a NASA engineer. My mother was a commercial artist and illustrator. So it's not like, you know, they're going around like Svengali, Ouija board. I mean, they weren't doing any of that nonsense. They had these abilities. And for all intents and purposes, we were the all-American family next door. And then when I got older, I used to joke with my parents, you know, we're really not very Brady Bunch. We're kind of more Adams family.
Well, you know, how fortunate that you chose them as your parents, because they were able to maybe feed that curiosity and not have you fear it or, you know, oh, don't do that. That's weird. So how fortunate were you to have that? So when did you start, you know, really moving it through? So you're a lawyer. And then when did that shift happen from being a buttoned down lawyer to the psychic world that you're in now?
Well, it's always been there with me. And I've always, throughout my entire life, I've had a lot of major spiritual experiences. And I'm hesitating because I always got to get my composure when I tell this. My mother passed unexpectedly. What had happened, Jane, is I was at my law office and I get it. And I was sitting there and I was thinking about spaghetti. Now, you know, my mom's side of the family is Italian, so spaghetti is kind of a thing, you know, with us. And I was like, God, I'd really like to have some spaghetti. And the phone rings and it was my mother. And she said, hey, honey, I made spaghetti. Why don't you come over for lunch? And I go, okay. And my law office was about, you know, 8 or 9 miles from my folks' house. So I went over there and mom had made broccoli rabe sauce, with tomato sauce. And I remember we were laughing and we were talking. And I remember seeing that she looked a bit tired. But it was really wonderful. She and my dad. And so I said, well, I got to go back to my office. And when I left, she hugged and kissed me. And she said, Mark, I'm so lucky that you've been my son. And I hugged and kissed her and I said, I love you too, Mom. And so when I left, and I'll never forget, like when the door closed, it had that kind of feel to it. It was like, it was a beautiful thing. But something was really intense. And the next morning I had to be in court, and it was one of those days I just didn't feel right. And I was in court and I was in front of a judge that I didn't particularly like, because he's just, you know, thankfully he's retired and no longer inflicting his incompetence on the people. But his assistant came into the courtroom and said, Mark, you need to come into chambers right now. And so I was in chambers and I knew something bad was, and she's holding the phone and the light on the phone's flashing. And it was my assistant. She said, your dad just called, your mom died. Mm. And, you know, naturally, I was devastated. Everybody who loses their mom is devastated. And according to grief experts, that after the loss of a child, which is the most excruciatingly painful loss, losing a mother is considered to be the most painful. Of course, you know, years later when I lost my dad, that wasn't exactly a picnic either. And about 2 weeks after that, Jane, I was driving back from court. Now, I was a senior partner of a law firm. Okay, I was in about as serious a profession as it gets. And one of those waves of grief hit me. You know, I thought I'd got to the point where, okay, I'm handling this now. And I pulled over into this parking space out in front of this, this little strip mall. And I figured, I got to get my composure. I can't walk into the office, crying or something. And all of a sudden, this flash of light goes off. And was it in my head? Was it in the car? It was this bright flash. And I instinctively turned to the passenger seat and I saw the silhouette of my mother in this silver white light. And I hear her voice. And she said, "You have been given the gift of mediumship so that you would not be crushed by grief, but now you must help those who are suffering with theirs. You must help people understand that God exists, that heaven exists, that our souls are immortal living beings, that we can communicate with souls and we'll be reunited in the light." Oh my God, Jane.
Thanks, Mom.
People talk about spiritual experiences and being subtle. Mine was like a fire hose right in the face. And I was drenched in sweat and I'm sitting there in my car stunned. And everything from that day onward changed. Within a year, I was out of the practice of law. I was working towards my first book, Never Letting Go. I mean, everything just, it wasn't like the door opened and the other side, the divine God said, "Here, step through it." It's like the door flew open and I got shoved right through it.
Wow.
And that's the way life is sometimes. And so that is what led me on the path, because it became apparent that my career in the law needed to come to an end. But all the skills that I'd learned in speaking and writing and working with people were now a transferable skill set to assist me in the rest of, the mission for the rest of my life, which is to help people understand God exists, the afterlife exists, our souls, our electromagnetic soul is an eternal living being, that we can communicate with these souls and that we will be reunited with our loved ones in the light that is God.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What a cool pivot, and a huge, huge shout out to your mom for coming to you and telling you that you needed to go on a different path. What's interesting to me is that you speak about scientific proof, because there's a lot of people that say, "Oh, this is a bunch of hogwash, Sure. Oh, it's a bunch of woo-woo. It's not true, blah, 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 you die, fade to black." But yet you have spiritual contact and scientific proof. Let's talk about that.
When I was 8 years old, I remember I was standing next to my dad, the thing is, I always got along really great with my parents. They loved me. I loved them. And as I became an adult, they became friends. We would do things together. We'd go to Las Vegas together. We'd go on trips. We got along really well. And so I'm 8 years old and Dad said I was difficult, not behavior wise as a child. He said, "But you never stopped asking questions." And I was reading by the time I was three, right. And I remember I would come in with a model of a Tyrannosaurus Rex and I would give a presentation to my family on what it was and all that. And so everything was always why, how does that work? And we're talking about the stars and how far they were away from us. And I'll never forget, Jane, my dad saying, "There's no such thing as a mystery. There's only questions for which we do not yet have the answer. And if enough research, funding, dedication, and focus go into something, we're going to find the answer. And it's going to be based on science." And so in my spiritual work, I started studying quantum physics. Now, nothing in life is a coincidence. There's a reason I became an attorney, because it puts you in every different field. Think of one aspect of our life that doesn't have some form of legal regulation. Right. From the water that we drink from the cars we drive, the clothes, the buildings that we live in. You know, and I know people are always crashing on lawyers, but because of lawyers, we have safe water to drink, hopefully, and houses that don't collapse on us, hopefully. You know, we could go on and on with that. But I had to work with forensics. I had to work with physicists, you know, neurobiologists, doctors, chemists, all these different disciplines. And in the course of my private practice, I was involved in head injury litigation. So I studied the human brain. Wow. So when I started working with my mediumship, I just realized all this ties together, and that that there is a scientific explanation for spirit contact. And like I said, it's not woo-woo, you know, because people go, oh, I don't believe that. And I go, well, by all means, tell me your vast understanding of energy transfer, frequency alignment, quantum physics, string theory, and how an electron can quantum leap to another dimension and back without traversing the matter in between. And inevitably, the response is, huh? Yeah. And so I decided to write the afterlife frequency to explain to people how spirit communication, how near-death experiences, how shared death experiences, how deathbed visions, how spirits come to you either in a dream or at some other form of visitation, because there's a common denominator with all of it. And for people, when they hear quantum physics, don't think that my book is some dry technical treatise. I suffered through enough of that in law school and in the practice of law. I like stories. Stories illustrate things. So I will explain the scientific concepts in a way anybody can understand it. So I learned that from practicing law. If you go into court in front of a jury and say, well, the vector of this one vehicle was in this direction, right, or the vector of the other, and the intercept, it goes like John Smith was on his way home when he was crashed into by a drunk driver and his life changed forever. All right, people can understand that.
Right.
And so that's how I write the book. And I think it's very important for people to understand that even when it comes to the divine power we call God, that there is an explanation for all of it. Nikola Tesla, the great visionary and inventor, physicist of the late 19th and early 20th centuries, said that what one man calls God, another calls the laws of physics. And I firmly believe that. And I'm not denigrating or taking away from God. What I'm saying is there is an explanation. You know, we have all heard God works in mysterious ways.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Try understanding quantum physics. even Werner Heisenberg, one of the creators of quantum physics, said, when you think you understand quantum physics, you really don't. And so these are part of the ways that we can understand all these so-called supernatural phenomenon, which are actually a normal part of nature.
I love it. The Afterlife Frequency, and my guest, Mark Anthony, is with me right now. What a kick. I am loving this. I think I could talk to you all day long. Do you communicate with your mom and dad? I mean, here you are, you're helping other people connect with their loved ones beyond the veil, or as I like to say, in the next room. How often, and, you know, has your dad come to you as a vision or just mom?
Oh, both of them. Okay. Friends of mine who died. I think one of the important concepts in the afterlife frequency is the raft technique. And this will answer your question and explain what raft is.
I was just going to say, I need to hear what raft is.
So I was trying to figure out, see, a lot of mediums have these courses and books. I'll turn you into a medium. Well, the truth is not everybody is a medium, just like not everyone's an Olympic swimmer. Not everyone is a calculus whiz. Not everyone, you know, can play guitar like Eric Clapton or Jeff Beck or, you know,
sure.
Jimi Hendrix, Brad Paisley. I mean, you know, there's just, and you know, but that doesn't mean that we all can't have an experience. You know, we can all pick up a guitar and, you know, learn to play it to some extent. We can all swim. It's the same thing with spirit communication. Whether or not you're a medium, you can still have a mediumistic experience. But I couldn't figure out how to explain this. Okay. So I thought, all right, I'm going for a walk. All right. I live near the ocean. I always like walk by the beach, clears my head out. So I'm heading down my driveway and cold chills and tingles start covering me. Like, okay, that's spiritual contact. That's electromagnetic energy. That part I knew. And I did an about face and instead headed to a bike path in the opposite direction. It's around 11 in the morning. So I'm walking along this bike path. And suddenly I see these two objects shining in the light. I walk up to them and it's a nickel and a penny. And I hear my mother's voice in spirit say, if their heads down, it's bad luck. And I burst out laughing because the Italian side of the family has a superstition for all occasions, ladders, black hats, broken mirrors. And if a coin, and then I hear dad's voice, it's money, grab it. And I'm laughing. God. So I have this nickel and this penny in my hand and I go, oh, 6 cents. And then I realized sixth sense. Okay, and now I knew this was spiritual synchronicity. This wasn't some random thing. And there was a reason they directed me here. And then I saw a vision of my father in my mind's eye. I saw him standing in the ocean and he looked like he was when he was maybe about 40. So I was a kid and he was holding this blue canvas raft. You know, we used to go body surfing on it and, you know, it was sloshing around. It was on this old, it had like these yellow rubber ends on it, but it was this old blue canvas raft. And I'm like, raft. And then I hear my parents teach people to recognize signs from spirits, accept the contact as real, feel it without overthinking it, and trust the message.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, Oh my God. You know, so I run back to my house, I flip on the computer and the words just started flowing. And so I got it down and I looked at it and I realized not only did they convey to me the raft technique, they walked me through it to illustrate how this works. So that's what the afterlife frequency, one of the teaching components of the book, teaches anyone how to recognize signs from spirits. Okay. So I was getting the cold chills and tingles. All right. So I was recognizing a sign from the spirit. I saw the nickel and the penny. And so I recognized that. And then I accepted it as real. Okay. Feel without overthinking. Now I know to do that. And then trust the message. Where a lot of people go wrong, Jane, is on the feel part. Oh, this is a coincidence. I'm just making this up. Grief-induced hallucination. Oh, this can't be. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's where people run into a brick wall. So it's the third part, the F word, the clean F word, the feel part, and then trusting the message. And now with trust, I want to say this for the benefit of the listeners. I'm on a lot of paranormal shows and there's the boogie woogie, spooky wookie crowd. Well, I do know it's not a message from demons. Well, first off, I don't believe in demons or the devil or hell. Secondly, there's a lot of people in the world who go around saying that they are given messages from the divine to go commit atrocities, commit acts of anger, bigotry, hatred, and violence, start insurrections, put on bomb vests. Those are not messages from spirits. Those are not messages from the divine power of God. Those are ego, edging God out, a creature, a device created strictly by the human mind, the brain, not the soul. So that's something entirely different. And because whenever people, oh, I think about it, whenever you've done anything unkind to somebody else, was it because you're acting out of love for that person? Or me is self-centeredness. When you act out of love, messages from spirits, nothing spiritual is controlling. Messages from spirits are about peace, love, healing, resolution, protection. And that's the difference. And the RAF technique can be applied not just to a situation like that, but maybe you consult with a medium like myself and messages come through that you don't immediately understand, but then later on you recognize, accept, feel, and trust the message and it will begin to unfold. It can be used to make sense of a near-death experience if you have one, or a deathbed vision share death experience where you may be in close proximity to somebody who's dying and you begin to see some of the spirits that that person's interacting with, or you may even get caught up in that person's life review as he or she is transitioning. I mean, we could do a whole show just on shared death experiences because I've been there at the bedside of a number of people who've died, and I've seen this and observed this. And so the RAF technique, I realized that this message from my parents wasn't just for me, it was for humanity.
I love it. Recognize science spirit, accept as real, feel without overthinking, and trust the message. I could not agree more. And what a cool way to have, you know, to have that delivered to you. And then you get to share that with other people. I love it. So you're an author, you're on TV, you're on radio, your best-selling book, The Afterlife Frequency. We can find you on all the social media outlets. What is it that lights you up? Like, what is it that, I mean, you're doing all of this. What is it when that tingle happens to Mark? What happens, Mark Anthony?
Spiritually or just in general?
Just in, like, what is it out of everything that you're doing on the planet right now? What makes your heart just start thumping like, yeah, this is it. This is my, you know, my higher consciousness. This is my purpose and reason for being.
It's the feeling that I'm actually making a positive difference for someone. You know, it'd be nice to do something that everybody in the world would benefit by. But let's say I'm doing a reading and I make a connection for somebody, and it maybe they begin to weep tears, healing tears, or they get that message that just resonates through them. And then I realize that I'm fulfilling the purpose for which I was put here. So that's what really, really does it for me. On a less spiritual level, visiting archaeological sites, I remember when I was at Machu Picchu, I had so many incredible experiences and adventures there. And I was standing on this cliff overlooking Machu Picchu as the sun was beginning to set. And it is such a breathtakingly beautiful city. I write about it in The Afterlife Frequency, and the experience that I write about there is different than the one I'm writing here. I mean, I could have written a whole book just on, you know, what I did there, but the pinks, the oranges from the sun on the ancient ruins, and then the golden sunlight. I remember I was standing there and I just started to weep. Tears just streamed from my eyes because it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And then I realized there was this guy standing next to me and then this couple about 20 feet away. There weren't very many people there. And I heard them crying too. Aww. Everybody was just so overwhelmed. And so when I'm able to go to a place like that. And it doesn't have to be ancient ruins. I mean, when I was in the Redwood Forest, it was just breathtakingly beautiful. And there was this time when I was in Costa Rica, I was at a place called Monteverde, the Green Mountain. And at the top of Monteverde, it's a tropical rainforest, but it's in the clouds and they call it the cloud forest. And I recall, once again, standing on a cliff and there's all this beautiful greenery and just looking into pure white. It felt like the best way I can envision, like for people who haven't had an NDE, is I was staring into eternity. I was there at the gate of heaven. And it was just, and the weather was perfect. It was like, you know, 72 degrees and misty and beautiful. And I was fortunate at that time to have been with a very good friend of mine, this guy named Brad, who has since passed. That was a real tragedy. He just collapsed one day. He was in his 40s. He collapsed from a brain aneurysm. And the interesting thing about Brad is he had this philosophy like, we got to do it. We got to do it now because life is so short. You know, and I really, really miss him as a friend. I've had two best friends, Brad and my other friend, Billy, and Billy's in the afterlife frequency. Both of them are in spirit now. And both of them were my travel and adventure friends. Billy and I traveled throughout Southeast Asia together, and we got into all these adventures and mishaps and incredible experiences. And Brad and I, we traveled through Central America and then, you know, around the U.S. as well. And it was just really great being there with him because he understood, you know, because a lot of times you'll be at a place with a mystical place. I remember when I was at Stonehenge, when I was in law school, that's when I was attending Oxford University, and I took some time off and I went to Stonehenge. And here I am. I'm just blown away. I mean, it's Stonehenge, you know, and I hear these American tourists, the type that give us a bad name overseas. Oh, my God, that's all it is. It ain't that big. Oh, it's not impressive at all. We came all this way for that. You know, and I could see the Brits and the German tourists and the French tourists all eyeing them. And I walked over to them and I go, what do you know about it? What do you mean? I mean, do you realize that that's over 4,500 years old? That was built at the time of the Great Pyramids in Egypt. Did you realize that the monolithic stones that it's constructed from come from 150 miles away in the country of in North Wales, and scientists still can't figure out how they got them here? Did you also understand that it's a series of three different rings, and each ring has a more concentrated form of natural Earth's radiation coming out of it, and the center is intensely radio, you know, has high concentrations of radioactive energy. Now, how did the people 45 centuries ago know this? Oh!
Mark Anthony opened up an educational can of whoop-ass. So that's awesome. This show has gone so fast, so I'm going to ask you straight up now, would you come back on the show?
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
That makes me happy. Mark Anthony is my guest today, the Afterlife Frequency. All the links will be on the show page to be able to go to his YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, his website, afterlifefrequency.com. Do me a favor, pick up his book. You will not be disappointed. Mark, one final question. In what you've been shown and what you know of the afterlife, what is waiting for Mark Anthony in the next room?
You know, I don't like to speculate, but I have a pretty good idea that there's my parents, my friends, my spiritual teachers. I remember I was meditating one time and my mother came through and she said, Mark, I brought somebody that I know you'll like. And all of a sudden, George Harrison appeared and he goes, hello, Ma. and I almost fell over because even though the Beatles were way before my time, I always admired George Harrison. And I always thought he was so cool because of his faith in God and in the beautiful songs that he wrote and his humanitarian, like when he died, he left something like $150 million to feed children in Asia and Africa, you know, and I was like, wow, you know, and I just completely did not expect that.
Wow. Shout out to George Harrison. Boy, now I have to hear My Sweet Lord. Big thank you to Mom and Dad, and what is it, Billy? And what's your other buddy's name?
Brad, yeah.
And Mark Anthony, what a delight you are. I am just thrilled to be connected with you. The Afterlife Frequency, afterlifefrequency.com. Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer or the psychic explorer, and I can see you because we're on Zoom and I see all these fabulous artifacts that are on your wall, and I was admiring them throughout the show. So huge thank you for coming on, and I look forward to having you back.
Thank you, Jane.
Thanks again for tuning into The Next Room. Just so much fun, and so many wonderful guests have been joining me lately, and largely due to the fact that Camille Dan has kind of connected about 40 or 50 of us together that are all going to contribute to her fabulous anthology or kind of collection about afterlife. So Mark is part of that. I'm part of that. It's just really going to be an awesome book, and that'll be out, I think, this summer. So I'll keep you posted on that, and I'll continue to have on these wonderful guests that are involved in that project. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Next Room.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.